This is a course in miracles. It's a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum about what you want to teach. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The Course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. Listen, it does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Here's this course. We can sum it up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
This road leads to Rainbowville. Going my way, up ahead is Bluebird Hill. Going my way, just pack a basket full of wishes, and off you start with Sunday morning in your heart.
Thank you.
Round the bend, you see a sign, Dreamer's Highway.
Merry Christmas.
Happiness is down the line, going my way. The smiles you'll gather will look well.
I'm glad you came into this sequence with me.
Oh, I hope you're going my way.
A little bit, okay?
The smiles you'll gather will look well on you. Oh, I hope
you're going my way. I'm glad you're here for this celebration of the conversion in the idea that the factor of being born in that major 2,000 years ago, shall we practice together my teaching, as Jesus would remind you, is actually going on right now. He says with a great deal of emphasis in his experience of being crucified and hung on the cross, that he would make a reappearance of himself in a demonstration of his capacity, okay? In his capacity to understand that with the name of Jesus Christ, all right, the story of his rebirth is a natural part of the procedure of us. They call me the master teacher of A Course in Miracles. I'm going to practice with you a bit. I teach from the voice that Jesus, okay, is speaking to me now, okay, with a complete description of let's try it. Shall I teach for just a few minutes? Because I'm celebrating the reappearance of Jesus of Nazareth in a direct observation of himself. And I have the dilemma, all right? I have the dilemma of offering you my certainty on this Christmas morning. Say to me, will you say to me, Jesus is speaking?
Jesus is speaking.
Yeah, say it again.
Jesus is speaking.
Jesus is going to speak to me in the book that you hopefully got in the mail today in preparation for coming into this as what you consider to be a Christian. Your ideas of what Jesus is. Now, I'm not in contradiction to you. Whatever you believe will be true in your mind in this occasion will be true. What I'm assuring you of is, once my experience of recognition of a distance that previously lasted, this is, we're talking now about 6,000 years, within the arrangement remain memories in my mind that can offer me the proof that there's a single idea of the perfection of me, which I'm attempting to represent to you now, when I got up this morning. Okay? And I came down excitingly under the tree. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you, and you can listen to this if you want to, okay? The idea, here. I'm going to read you, and this was one of the questions that came up by so many of you who don't consider yourself to even be Christians. Never mind the idea that we're going to celebrate his rebirth. Now, it didn't matter to me. I could care less what you're thinking. But since you ask me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read to you from the Jesus is Speaking book. All right. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? It's a good question. There's a presumption on your part that, well, you consider yourself to be a Christian. You are so emphatic about the idea of the inevitability that it's true, that it's hard for you to see. My concern is not so much about Jesus as it is, as he reminds you so emphatically in the New Testament, the manner in which you offer conversion of the observation of what you believe you're seeing out there, all right? Now, some of the very so-called conservative Christians are going to result, and they're going to tell me Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I'm not arguing with you about anything. What I'm offering you when you came down this Easter Sunday morning and you sat with your family and you began to offer ideas of the joy, perhaps, that you felt in recognizing a human purpose for being here, and you came to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So, will you listen with me? Here, listen just a moment.
The
This is about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is no need for help to enter heaven, for you have never left. But there is need for help beyond yourself, as you are circumscribed by false beliefs of your identity, which God alone established in reality. Helpers are given you in many forms, although upon the altar they are one. Beyond each one, there is a thought of God, and this will never change. But they do have names which differ for a time, for time needs symbols, being itself unreal. Listen, their names are legion, but we will not go beyond the names that this course itself in training your mind is using. God does not help because he knows no need. Did you hear that? But he creates all helpers of his son while he believes his fantasies are true. Thank God for them, for they will lead you home. Now, I'm back with you just for a moment because I'm about to give you a description of the name of Jesus. Listen. The name of Jesus is the name of one who was a man but saw the face of Christ in all his brothers and remembered God. So he became identified with Christ, a man no longer but at one with God. Now listen with me. The man was an illusion, for he seemed to be a separate being walking by himself, within a body that appeared to hold his self from self, as all illusions do. Yet who can save unless he sees illusions and then identifies them as what they are? Jesus remains a savior because he saw the false without accepting it as true. And Christ needed his form that he might appear to men and save them from their own illusions. In his complete identification with the Christ, the perfect Son of God, his one creation, and his happiness forever like himself and one with him, Jesus became what all of you must be. He led the way for you to follow him. And I'm back just one more time with the idea that in the frequencies of light examples, you are being shown at any moment when we came together here today that though it may appear to be 2,000 years ago, it's actually going on right here and now because the name of Jesus is the one that holds all the memories that you need. Listen. Remember, in his complete identification with the Christ, the perfect Son of God, his one creation and his happiness forever like himself and one with him, Jesus became what all of you must be. He led the way for you to follow him. He leads you back to God because he saw the road before him and he followed it. He made a clear distinction, still perhaps obscure to you, between the false and the true. He offered you a final demonstration that it is impossible to kill God's Son, nor can his life in any way be changed by sin and evil and malice and fear and death. And therefore, all your sins have been forgiven, haven't they? Because they carry no effects at all, and so they were but dreams. Arise with him who showed you this because you owe him this, who shared your dreams that they might be dispelled, and shares them still to be at one with you. Is he the Christ? Oh, yes. Along with you. Is he the Christ? Oh, yes. Along with you. His little life on earth was not enough to teach the mighty lesson that he learned for all of you. He will remain with you to lead you from the hell you made to God. And when you join your will with his, your sight will be his vision, for the eyes of Christ are shared. For the eyes of Christ are shared. Just for a moment here in the idea we're celebrating coming down this morning and offering present. The query came up, well, if that's true, where is he? And here's the answer that I'm going to give you when you came down to open your presents this morning, because standing right next to you is the possibility of a vision, of a reality, of who could not be walking with you, since he becomes a memory of a perfect alternative. Listen. Walking with him is just as natural as walking with a brother whom you know and have known since you were born, for such indeed he is. Some bitter idols have been made of him who would be only brother to the world. Forgive him your illusions, and behold how dear a brother he would be to you, for he will set your mind at rest at last, and carry it with you unto your God. Look with me. Is he God's only helper? Of course not. Christ takes many forms with different names until their oneness can be recognized. But you listen, Jesus is for you the bearer of Christ's single message of the love of God, and you need no other. It is possible to read his words and benefit from them without accepting him into your life. Yet he would help you yet a little more if you will share your pains and joys with him and leave them both to find the peace of God. Yet still, it is his lesson most of all that he would have you learn. And here it is, you listen to me, there is no death, because the Son of God is like his Father. Nothing you can do can change eternal love. Forget your dreams of sin and guilt and come with me instead to share the resurrection of God's Son and bring with you all those whom he has sent to you to care for as I care for you. I'm really happy that you decided to come with me, because we've been performing the action, our Course in Miracles, of chapter 15, which celebrates the idea of Jesus without the need to identify yourself except in the entirety of the joy that you're feeling on this Christmas morning. And the certainty that you have been willing to perform acts of giving and felt the joy of the giving without the possibility that you're really giving up anything are why you have joined with me. Okay? I'm in a solid memory here for those of you who would like to know where I am right now. They call me the master teacher of A Course in Miracles in my complete association with the reappearance of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take you back just a little bit. Let's try 1936. Okay. In 1936, okay, this is what, 2006? Yes. Am I this 80-year-old body formulation that remembers 1936 on Christmas Day when I came downstairs Am I offering you the certainty that the thoughts that you're having about yourself are actually going on in your mind? And there's no need for you to suffer from a condition of the 80-year-old body when together you and I can celebrate the notation of the joy that we felt in giving to you. Listen with me, will you, just a little bit about chapter 15 we're doing? Okay, in the idea of the Merry Christmas of Jesus. Listen. Christmas as the end of sacrifice. Fear not to recognize the whole idea of sacrifice as solely of your making, and seek not safety by attempting to protect yourself from where it is not. Your brothers and your father have become very fearful to you, and you would bargain with them for a few special relationships in which you think you see some scraps of safety. Do not try longer to keep apart your thoughts and the thought that has been given you. When they are brought together and perceived where they are, the choice between them is nothing more than a gentle awakening, and as simple as opening your eyes to daylight when you have no more need of sleep. The sign of Christmas is a star, a light in darkness. See it not outside yourself, but shining in the heaven within, and accept it as a sign that the time of Christ has come. He comes demanding nothing. No sacrifice of any kind of anyone is asked by him, for in his presence, the whole idea of sacrifice loses all its meaning. For he is host to God, and you need but invite him in who is there already by recognizing that his host is one, and no thought alien to his oneness can abide with him there. Love must be total to give him welcome, for the presence of holiness creates the holiness that surrounds it, and no fear can touch the host who cradles God in the time of Christ, for the host is as holy as the perfect innocence which he protects and whose power protects him. This Christmas, give the Holy Spirit everything that would hurt you. Let yourself be healed completely, that you may join with him in healing. And let us celebrate our release together by releasing everyone with us. Leave nothing behind, for release is total. And when you have accepted it with me, you will give it with me. And all pain and sacrifice and littleness will disappear in our relationship, which is as innocent as our relationship with our Father and as powerful as the light that we're now seeing. And pain will be brought to us and disappear in our presence. And without pain, there can be no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there must be full love of the recognition of each other. I'm going to leave you now for just a moment. Okay, there's a little intermission coming in which we're going to enjoy ourselves in this break of the Christmas. And I'm going to offer you a particular song that I remember from 1936. I hope you'll tolerate with me the ideas that what we will be offering each other will be a song about the nature that I shared with you, and the idea of the singularity of the purpose that we're involved in. Because there's no reason why in your memory, if you have a memory, now let's look at your own memory of the joy that you're experiencing in being here, in this little 3-day interlude of sharing together the joy of participating in the idea that the entirety of this was nothing but a dream sequence that you underwent in your own mind. Now, my mind is about to become 1936. Will you share it with me? Now, the idea, perhaps, that I would cry about it are very possible. Perhaps the idea of the truth of you is not out in the universe. Perhaps the idea of altering your relationship of the ideas of time are only pertained within you. So that when we sit together here at this intermission, you're going to be listening with me to an idea that brought memories of each other to us. Thank you for that. You bring your past to the present, and instead of projecting into the future the idea of all the plans that can be made, you simply are reminded from the mind of Jesus that your present condition of reality in what you're seeing with me, in my demonstration of the healing factor of my mind, will be very much like I was in 1936, or perhaps how you were in 1996, or 86, or 2481. My concern is the manner in which we can bring together a condition that will allow us to see the presence of us here and now, with no need to rely on our past association to see the joy that we're expressing in the idea of being merry at this Christmas season, with the certainty that the time has come at last when we recognize through his resurrection that he was born, that he underwent an experience of devastation, and that he arose. Listen with me. Listen with me.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, our country.
We're speaking of Richard Crook singing Hosea in the highest and on earth. But I'm more concerned about how you organize yourself in an idea. All right. For example, no matter what song I sang to you, it has a memory of an idea. Can you get this with me? I promised one of the young fellows I'd do Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And if you have it, I'm going to try it just for a moment with you, because the joy that you got out of the perspective that Santa Claus was coming to town were all you needed to know. Because when you planned to come here in anticipation, it was anticipation of the idea of the birth of Christ. Okay? You'll hear it now. And it's a nice song. And I remember we sang it together. Okay, right about then.
Hey, I just came back from a lovely trip along the Milky Way.
Did you listen?
I stopped off at the North Pole to spend the holiday.
Huh.
I called on dear old Santa Claus just to see what I could see. And you know, he took me to his workshop. And he told his plans to me.
I love you, kids.
So you better watch out, and you better not cry, and you better not pout, and I'm a-telling you why.
Why?
Santa Claus is a-coming to town.
He's making a list.
He's a-checking
it twice.
Gonna find out who's naughty and who's nice. Santa Claus is a-coming to town.
Oh, my. He sees you when you're sleeping.
He sees when you're a-sleeping.
He knows when you're awake.
And he knows when you're awake.
He knows.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
So be good, for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out, and you better not cry, and you better not pout, and I'm a-telling you why. Santa Claus is a-coming to town.
I love it.
With little tin horns and little toy drums,
rub-toot-toot and rub-dub-dub, Santa Claus is coming to town. Got it?
And curly-haired dolls, the cobble and coo, elephants,
boats,
and candy cars too.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Here we go.
The kids and girls in Toyland
will have a jubilee.
They're going to
the Christmas tree.
So you better watch out, and you better not cry, and you better not pout, and I'm a-telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Thank you. The enjoyment that I just had in experiencing the joy that we're sharing in this little interlude of coming together are the certainty that in chapter 15, by a message of the certainty that the miracle is going on in the process of my individual capacity to change my mind, are the same as you will use in the mind training that Jesus is offering us, that the inevitability of our joy and happiness that all of us and all of us have experienced will be available to us here and now. Let's read a little bit more now, shall we? About first the idea of Jerusalem, and then the idea that he's going to come to town. Okay, from chapter 15 of our Course in Miracles. You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. For sacrifice brings guilt as surely as love brings peace. Guilt is the condition of sacrifice, as peace is a condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. You can hear this. Through guilt, you exclude your father and your brothers from yourself. Through peace, you invite them back, realizing that they are where your invitation bids them be. What you exclude from yourself seems fearful, for you endow it with fear and try to cast it out, though it is part of you. Who can perceive part of himself as loathsome and live within himself in peace? Then who can try to resolve the conflict of heaven and hell in him by casting heaven out and giving it the attributes of hell without experiencing himself as incomplete and very lonely? As long as you perceive the body as your reality, so long will you perceive yourself as lonely and deprived. And so long will you also perceive yourself as a victim of sacrifice, justified in sacrificing others. For who could thrust heaven and its creator aside without a sense of sacrifice and loss? And who could suffer sacrifice and loss without attempting to restore himself? Yet how could you accomplish that yourself when the basis of your attempts is the belief in the reality of deprivation? You actually believe something is being denied you. Deprivation breeds attack, being the belief that attack is justified. And as long as you would retain the deprivation, attack becomes salvation and sacrifice becomes love. So is it that in all your seeking for love, you seek for sacrifice and you find it, yet you do not find love. It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning apart from you. It is what you prefer to keep that has no meaning, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. Unless the universe were joined in you, it would be apart from God. And to be without Him is to be without meaning. And I'm back for a moment, thank you, because I want you to see with me in the consciousness or science of our mind, the simple idea that having projected from my mind, I believe that I have lost what I gave you as a present this morning, instead of understanding in the simplicity of it, that in the act of giving was my association with the entirety of the universe. Imagine my discovery that the more that I gave away and the joy that I'm experiencing in an episode in 1936, in the power of my mind to always decide that in the mind training, there's another way that I can look at my relationship with you. And all I ask through my Savior Jesus, that we form a relationship where first we forgive each other for the idea that somehow we're lacking. I gave to you and you gave back to me. And we recognize that between us, in the Holy Spirit of energy, is a completion of the instant of the recognition of ourselves, because we brought our past with it. But I'm going to stand here, and you brought your past with you at this Christmas time. But time is always over. And the idea that we can't enjoy this is a message that we're bringing to each other now, isn't it? Listen with me just now, and we'll complete the idea that in the idea of sacrifice can be only the idea that wherever you find yourself is a condition that has a form of reality. When my Savior Jesus tells you very simply that you have resurrected physically in a body form, in the study of the admission that he was born, that he grew up, that he lived with you, that he underwent the entirety of what you feel you must undergo for you, and that he's walking with you now in that certainty. You look very lovely. I don't apologize to you. I have a tendency to be affected, since my own illumination, by the simplicity of my teaching. It's an indication of how much I love you. I was going to read you one idea of the Miracle Healer's Handbook that Jesus is speaking about love. But I want to finish this about sacrifice first. Okay? Listen with me. In the holy instant, the condition of love is met. For minds are joined without the body's interference, and where there is communication, there is peace. The Prince of Peace was born to reestablish the condition of love by teaching that communication remains unbroken, even if the body is destroyed, provided that you see not the body as the necessary means of communication. And this is why we're celebrating. And if you understand this lesson, you will realize that to sacrifice the body is actually to sacrifice nothing. And communication, which must be of the mind, cannot be sacrificed. Where, then, is sacrifice? The lesson that I was born to teach and still would teach to all my brothers is that sacrifice is nowhere and that love is everywhere. For communication embraces everything, and in the peace it reestablishes. Love comes of itself. Let no despair darken the joy of Christmas, for the time of Christ is meaningless apart from joy. Let us join in celebrating peace by demanding no sacrifice of anyone, for so you offer me the love that I offer you. What could be more joyous than to perceive that we are deprived of nothing? Such is the message of the time of Christ, which I give you that you may give it and return it to the Father who gave it to me. For in the time of Christ, communication is restored, and he joins us in the celebration of his Son's creation. Listen, God offers thanks to the Holy Host who would receive him and lets him enter and abide where he would be. And by your welcome does he welcome you unto himself, for what is contained in you who welcome him is returned to him. And we but celebrate his wholeness as we welcome him into ourselves. And those who receive the Father are one with us, being host to him who created them. And by allowing him to enter, the remembrance of the Father enters with him. And with him, they remember the only relationship they ever had and ever want to have forever. This is the time in which a new year will soon be born from the time of Christ. I have perfect faith in you to do all that you would accomplish, and nothing will be lacking, and you will make complete and will not destroy. Say then to your brother, Jesus is speaking, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release because I recognize that we will be released together. So will the year begin in joy and freedom. There is much to do, and we have been long delayed. Accept the holy instant as this year is born, and take your place so long left unfulfilled in the great awakening. Make this year different by making it all the same, and let all of your relationships be made holy for you, because this is our will. So, here we are in ideas of celebrating together the totality in the rebirth of Jesus, a message that he offers us that is in its utter simplicity where we suffer from this condition that I'm going to have to exchange with you ideas that we are somehow separate in our relationship. Many of you now, with this message, and we use the term training your mind in an alternative, very simply because the scripture of Jesus, which you're much aware of in the New Testament, teaches you the necessity of the forgiveness of your brother. And it's very emphatic with the idea that there's no way you can possibly enter the kingdom of God without the admission that the guy who you previously identified as an enemy to you is actually within the factory of your own teaching, only contained within your own mind. Now, there's virtually none of you who have come into this idea who are not in some sort of fundamental admission that the salvation of the world, as you have interposed yourself between it and the idea that there's something separate from you, have become a disciple, and I'm offering myself now as what you term a teacher of teachers, in the simple admission that in this short 2,000-year cycle, okay, in the instant of conversion, what we call the holy instant, you came into this relationship. Just for a moment, you saw a reflection of the light that did not justify the entirety of you. Say to me, I was afraid.
I was afraid.
Oh, yeah. The entirety of my teaching to you in the idea that you must sacrifice, that you must undergo crucifixion of your body, are nothing but my certainty that since you have come into this cycle with Jesus, the energy of the conversion of reflection of light can show you alternatives. Shall I tell you why? I love you. Now, the word I love you imply a distinction between the love I feel for myself and the love that I feel for you. I'm not concerned about it. In the mind training of the devastation that many of us have now undergone, in the idea of a continuing death relationship, we discover very simply that love, the ease by which we can love, does not actually distinguish between the idea of what you think you are as a body and what I think I am. But listen, in the celebration of Christmas, the conversion in the fundamental observation that the whole universe is out there are simply indication that in the reflection of the light that I'm receiving, I just fell in love with you. Now, was I particularly interested in what your body formulation was, as is, what do you call me now, the 80-year-old guy? What is this year?
2006.
Huh? What's the year?
2006.
Yeah, I was living in 1936. Actually, I was living in 1946 in the idea of the power of my mind. But all was contained within it was a direct alternative that was available to me in the instant in which I experienced the idea of pain and death. Okay, just a moment from Jesus, who is speaking to you. Will you listen to me? Listen. I love you. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. And you shall love what? Your neighbor as yourself. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me in this very short time that's left at Christmas time, where we came together and became a memory that's within us that we want to bring up again in the certainty of the joy that we're experiencing. It was only necessary that we remember fundamentally that the reflection of the body form, although I may appear to be to you an 80-year-old consciousness, I assure you that when we got together at Christmas time and I watched you begin to enjoy opening your present, I physically watched you change your mind about yourself. Are you all right with that? Now, there's a little crying that went on in the idea of the joy that I feel in the memory of how joyous we have been in the totality that we came here. Now, in the year 2006, is it?
2006.
See, well, I'm speaking to you from outside of this frame and reestablishing a sequence that actually is going back in time rather than projecting into the future, the idea that you can escape out into the stars. Because contained in you at this moment is a repetition that you are undergoing that condemn you to another death sequence, don't they? All right. In other words, you intend to live within this 80-year-old cycle and get old and die. I underwent a death experience, as many of you have, as Jesus is directing you. And in that experience, within my mind, I felt the happiness that while I may retain memories of my past association, they can only be in the joy. And this is why I'm asking you now, as what you term a master teacher of A Course in Miracles, that since you're teaching yourself all about your own relationship of body form with other body form, why not admit to the fundamental necessity that the power that you employ in ideas about yourself is precisely and exactly the power that you will employ when you escape out into the universe? Because the joy that you're going to feel about not having to be that body formulation can at this minute teach us, okay, that Jesus, standing right here, just smiled at me.
Now, if you carry in your mind the idea of the mindfulness of you in the idea of love, it will be much easier for you. In our course, in the mind training, that the message that came from out of time, we're simply admitting that we can hear the scripture of Jesus in the Course in Miracles message. And it will be precisely and exactly the same message in which he underwent all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the loneliness and death that it will be ever necessary for you to accomplish. Because when it's accomplished by one, it's accomplished by all. I'll see you in a moment. I'll see you in a moment. Now, if the idea that you'd like to question me about this are simply the questions we ask ourselves about my relationship with you, who I formerly perhaps disliked, for whom I formerly was an enemy, I simply admit that the power of love will sustain me in this new solution, in this new communication, in this new communication of love. Of love. Of love.